Blog Talk Radio.
April 2nd, The Roman Show, back at it again. On this special episode, we are calling it our WrestleMania as we welcome former TNA superstar and reality show superstar Johnny Fairplay will be on the show, along with Mike of WrestleCon, Mike King Ferdinand, who you can see in person at the Florida Renaissance Festival, which just opened up last weekend, and also Christopher Daniels, TNA superstar who teams up with Kaz, tag team better known as Bad Influence, and lastly, from Barbed Wire City, it's a documentary on the original ECW. Directors of the movie will be on the show to let us know what is the status and how you can get tickets to see the premiere in Philadelphia.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now, Mikey Ruckus, rain down hellfire and brimstone.
I consider the beat, I consider the pound. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it, cause we all go through it. It's the start of The Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we pop shots as you licking your chops. So straight to the top, the moment that the solo will drop.
Yeah,
got it a lock and time to deny. We got the industry crossover, like it or not. Keep rocking.
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami up to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we going to curve. With a red carpet, news break, shocking the world. Come on, ride, coming on The Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show, and you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Back here on The Roman Show after this small commercial break, and on the line I have the man, Mr. Legend, Mr. Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel, one half of Bad Influence. You know, Chris, last time we had you on the show, I unfortunately could not be on the line. And I know that you and I, we have a long history of playing tennis and golf, but here I am. I have the opportunity again to interview you, sir.
Awesome. Excellent. It's glad to have you back, and off we go.
Chris, first and foremost, I want to talk to you. What went on Impact? You and your tag team partner, Kaz, attacked the Dirty Heels after a match. What's going on with that?
Well, they're the World Tag Team Champions, and we're back in the hunt for the titles. I mean, it's as simple as that. Bobby and Austin thought that Lockdown would be the last time that they would have to deal with us. And we just wanted to remind them that we're still around and we're still the best team in the company and we're still the best team in the business. So that's really all it was.
Now, there is another team out there that also wants that title, and that's Chavo and Hernandez. And I saw a promo of you and Kaz who said that they really aren't even matter. They don't even matter as far as the tag team title picture.
Not to us. I mean, they just lost the last tag team title shot that they had. So, I mean, that should really eliminate them from the process for right now. It should be myself and Frankie getting the next title shot. I mean, they did have a chance on the last television, did they not? Did they not lose that match? I mean, everybody saw it. I saw it. You saw it, I'm sure. You probably DVR'd it, but that's cool. You didn't have to watch it live if you didn't want to.
You're right. Now, I got to ask you this, and I forgive me for not doing this, but permission now to worship you guys right now.
Right now is fine. You can have permission.
All right, cool. Now, Chris, let's also talk about TNA. I know you guys have this, you know, and one thing about TNA is that you guys have a lot of chance here at the tag team wrestling, which lately hasn't really been on the scene, but you guys have done a phenomenal job keeping it up, and that is just awesome. But TNA was on a tour in the United Kingdom, and you guys used to do a lot of wrestling in Orlando. Now you're traveling. Well, tell us about that, and do you kind of miss the whole traveling thing? Or
no,
staying in Orlando?
We do our live events are all around the United States anyway, so this is just really taking Impact on the road and taping our television outside. That's more of a chance to bring our television show, the experience of taping television around the United States. So, I mean, it's going to be a different feel, but, I mean, I look forward to it. We've been in the Impact Zone for almost 8 years, and, you know, as good as that crowd can be, the truth of the matter is they were seeing us every week for, you know, 8 years almost. And so, you know, there's a diminishing law of return. You know, after a while, it got hard to sort of get a good reaction out of that crowd. But to our benefit, now that we're on the road with Impact, we'll be in front of fresh audiences every week, every 2 weeks, you know, however often we're going to be in the taping. And, you know, that benefits our show because we feed off the energy that the crowd brings. And for a lot of these people, this will be the first time they've had the opportunity to see us live and in person and taping the show. So, I mean, they're going to be excited. And when they're excited and full of energy, we feed off that. And it helps us step our game up a little bit.
And how about traveling to the United Kingdom? And tell us about that reaction and that fan reaction over there.
Tell us in the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the UK is one of our best markets, man. Whenever, you know, we only go over there once a year. And, you know, so by the time we get over there, that crowd, who is already a great wrestling crowd, they're amped to see us. They're, you know, 1,000% invested in watching our show. And so this last tour that we did, we taped 2 weeks of television in Manchester and 2 weeks in London Wembley Arena. I was real happy with the overall tour. I think the company was very happy with it. It was well received by the fans and some great wrestling and some great television came out of it.
That is awesome. And now, pay-per-view, let's talk about pay-per-view because I read that TNA now is not going to have, it's going to try to stay away from having a pay-per-view every month and focus on the main pay-per-views like the Slammiversary and the Lockdowns, the Bound for Glories. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, I think it gives it a good opportunity for the storylines to build. And it makes it more exciting.
Well, you just answered it, man. That's it right there. You know, we're going to have more time in between. You know, by taking away 8 live pay-per-views, we're going to make the 4 that remain, you know, more worthwhile, you know, give people a chance to really want to see a live pay-per-view, give people a chance to sort of digest the stories that are happening and give these things, these issues between each wrestler a chance to breathe. And so we just finished Lockdown a couple weeks ago in San Antonio in the Alamo Dome. Our most attended live event that we've ever had. And you know, it was great. I mean, we had 2 months to put that pay-per-view together from Genesis. You know, I think that it really benefited us. And then the next pay-per-view we have coming up is June 2nd in Boston for Slammiversary. And we're going to have from, you know, 2-3 weeks ago until then to sort of build those matches up. And, you know, it'll give us a chance to really get some prestige built into the show. You know, if we have time to sort of let everything sort of build to these crescendos, these pay-per-views, I think they're going to be better received and, you know, be a bigger deal for our company.
And prior to that, prior to the next pay-per-view, you got Extravaganza, which is a one-night only on pay-per-view. And one thing I noticed, you guys, you and Kaz are in action. But one thing I noticed on this pay-per-view that they'll be on April 5th is Jerry Lynn's final match. And I saw your Twitter account, and you mentioned that you wish you wanted, you had one more match against Jerry Lynn, and it's Jerry Lynn's final TNA match on this pay-per-view coming up, Extravaganza. Can you tell us about your battles with Jerry Lynn?
Sure, man. Jerry, I've known Jerry for the better part of 13 years, and I've always known who he was before I got a chance to meet him. He's one of those guys that no one has a bad word about, and every company that I've had the opportunity to see him in, to work with him in, I've worked with him in WWE, I've worked with him in TNA, obviously, I've worked with him in Ring of Honor. And every company that he's been in is better having him there, and he's been nothing but, a class act inside the ring, a class act outside of the ring. And, it's sad to see someone, I'm happy to see that he's retiring on his own terms, but it's sad to see someone like that caliber go. And, I think when people look back at his career and everything that he's accomplished, there's a lot there, man. And I hope that at the end of my career, I have that same amount of success and respect that I want to give him. I hope I have that same amount coming to me when I hang it up. But he was a big part of TNA at the beginning. And it was, that we taped this pay-per-view that's coming up on the 5th. We taped it in January. And it was an emotional night for Jerry, I know. It was his last time that he wrestled Rob Van Dam, who is one of the guys that sort of, when Jerry Lynn sort of made his first impact on a national scene, it was because of Rob. Rob and Jerry had some great matches in ECW, and they carried it over here in TNA. And I think this last match is going to be another one that people are going to talk about.
Yeah, I saw a lot of camaraderie from you guys, Jerry Lynn's retirement. I know it happened over the weekend, but so much respect for the guy. And he was able to do an independent show. And so much respect for him, so much love. And you can tell how much people appreciated this man. And he is a very nice guy. You're definitely right about that. Now, I want to talk about you, Chris. Video, was it Throwback Thursdays? You dressed up with Kaz as the Legion of Doom. And then the other day you pulled out, a couple of months ago, you pulled out the Gangman style. Tell us about this stuff. I think it's comical, but are you going to do a Harlem Shake?
We're definitely not going to do a Harlem Shake because that involves editing and a bunch of other people having what looks to me like an epileptic fit. That's not really a dance. I'm more classically trained, so I'm certainly not going to do something as silly as the Harlem Shake. Kaz and myself, we're ahead of the curve. We would have done Harlem Shake maybe 6 months ago before it became big, but now everybody's trying to do it, so we're definitely not going to be doing a Harlem Shake. We did Gangnam Style before anyone else was doing it in the wrestling ring, because that's our style, man. We're one step ahead of the game, and we're always trying to make people remember what we're doing. We're trying to be the standout part of the entertainment as far as TNA, whether it's, and the truth of the matter is the Legion of Boom, that's been our gimmick for about 30 years now. So actually Hawk and Animal copied us. I don't think anyone has actually talked about that yet. But, I'm cool with that. I mean, I know that they went on and they did a couple things in the wrestling business. So I'm not bitter about that. I'm glad they had the success that they did with our gimmick. That's fine. But, like I said, Frankie and myself, we're always trying to be the thing that you talk about the next day around the water cooler. We're always trying to be the thing that the message boards blow up about, that the internet explodes about. When your server drops the next day, Thursday, Friday morning, it's because Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels did something great.
Now, did it take you some time to learn the Gangman style? Because let me tell you, I tried doing that thing and it's pretty hard.
Please. Please. Like I said, I'm classically trained, doctor.
Now, knowing that you are a big comic book collector, I got to talk to you about this because the news broke out today that George St. Pierre, UFC champion, will be part of the Captain America movie coming up, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, he's going to be playing a villain. And knowing the fact that you have a degree in theater, I know you've been in a couple of movie roles and so forth, or so had some roles in some sort of cameos in some shows,
sure.
Especially that parody film, 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity, right, with the Devil Inside the Girl. Long title.
Very long.
Any chance we're going to get you in some of these? I know X-Men, X-Men, you're a big fan of X-Men. The Wolverine is out there. Could we see you as a villain perhaps in one of these movies one day?
I'd love to, man. I would love to, bro. I would be awesome. I am a big fan of the Marvel stuff. I'm a big fan of all the movies. I'm a big fan of all of the comic books. And yeah, that would be a great get for me to be able to be in one of the films. You know, and hopefully the notoriety that comes with being an Impact Wrestling superstar might open that door for me one day. Nothing yet, but that doesn't mean I'm not always trying. And if there's a casting director listening to the Roman Show right now, I'd be happy to take your calls. During the break.
Well, Randy Couture, he's in Bellator. It airs a spike. He joined it. Hopefully getting another shot there at TV, so you never know. Guys, any directors out there? Dan is looking for a spot. Would love to see you in some sort of a comic book film. Now, any particular villain you would like to play, or good guy? Or what would you, any superhero? If you had a choice?
I would like to do anything, man. I would be thrilled to be a part of any part of it. I think with my build and my physique, I'd be very good Deadpool. But I'm sure that the Ryan Reynolds fans around the world would probably be upset if I tried to take Ryan Reynolds' part from him. And I understand, that's fine. I'm interested to hear who George St. Pierre is playing in the Captain America movie. My bet is Batroc. That's who I think he's going to play because he's French and he's agile. I'm not French, so I don't think I could play Batroc, but that's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm always, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from George St. Pierre. Yeah, man, whatever came around, I know Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out. They just cast Batista in the role as Drax the Destroyer, which is a big deal for him, and congratulations to him as well. So, you know, there's a full slate of Marvel movies coming out in the next couple of years, and I'm sure there's room for one Christopher Daniels on that.
There you go. Yeah, and DSP is saying Batroc the Leaper. You hit it right on the nail.
That's right. Yep.
So now, knowing that you're a big comic book collector and fan, and maybe even play a role in a movie, and I understand you trade some comic books with the likes of Samoa Joe and Homicide, can we also see you at a SuperCon? You attend the big events when you have a chance?
I do, man. In the last couple of years, Frankie and myself have tried to be a part of San Diego Comic-Con. That's actually obviously the closest one to us. But I have in the past gone to New York Comic-Con as well. And if my schedule permits, I'd like to try to do Chicago, but that's coming up really soon, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to. It just depends, man. It all depends on the schedule. In the past, TNA has had a presence at the Comic-Con. It was 2 years ago where Frankie and myself and Eric Young wrestled a match where we all had comic book-inspired gear. And, you know, we hope to do that again in the future, me and Frankie tagging. As the comic book geek that we are.
If there's one comic book that you'd like to have that you don't own, which one would it be?
I'd love to get another copy of Wolverine, the first appearance of Wolverine. It was Hulk 181. I had one as a kid, but I happened to say one of the bad words that Wolverine says in the book in front of my mom, and she took it away from me. Little did she know that comic book would be worth so much in the future. But, you know, that's what happens when you have a potty mouth. Kids, you know, do what I say, not as I do. Watch your mouth, watch the language around your parents.
Now, are you the type of person, though, like baseball card collectors and football card collectors that are willing to spend whatever it is for a comic book, or do you have a limit?
It depends, man. I'm not as big a collector of the older stuff as I was in the past. You know, because I've sort of understood that comics are worth what someone's going to pay for them. You know, I'm my big thing right now is variant covers. You know, when books come out, there's original covers that you see on all the newsstands and all the comic book shops. But then there's also, like, harder to get variant editions done by different artists, done with different upgrades on the book. So it's like a harder paper or whatnot, or like gold foil or whatnot. So, I try to get the variant covers when I can, and I've got friends at Marvel that are always on the lookout to get me those things.
That is great. Could we even see maybe a Christopher Daniels comic book? Fallen Angel?
It could be, man. I'd like to. I've got a couple of ideas in my brain that I'd like to get on paper, but. You know, that's a lot harder than you would think, just writing a story. I mean, these guys that write these month after month are, you know, they're incredibly talented, and I wish I was a tenth as talented as many of them. It's just a matter of getting the time and the wherewithal to putting all this down on paper and getting a good story arc together. But like I said, I've got friends in comics, and they've all said that they'd support me and help me in any way. So it's just a matter of like me sitting down and getting the right idea out and talking to the right creative teams and trying to do something.
Oh, Chris, don't want to take too much time out of your busy schedule there. We really appreciate you coming again on the Roman Show, and check out Chris in action every Thursday on the Impact Zone on Spike TV. And also you can check him out on pay-per-view starting April 5th. Extravaganza, one night only. Check him out alongside his tag team partner, Kaz, known as Bad Influence. And look for them as they're feuding against the Dirty Heels, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. Chris, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure to have you here, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your time and effort, and we'll get together and do more golf and tennis, at some point.
We'll do it. We'll add some badminton next time.
That sounds fine.
I'm well-versed
in many sports.
There you go. Well, now you can teach me the gangnam style. I got to work on that one.
All right, we can get together and work on that.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris.
No worries.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird with these. Weird.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. Or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
All right, Rodolfo Roman here with Michael Ritz. Thanks very much for taking some time and speaking to us, Mike. Getting ready for the big event, April 5th through the 7th at Exposition Center. That's at the B55 Plaza Drive, Secaucus, New Jersey. And you can visit WrestleCon.com for information as far as ticket and pricing and the entire. Mike, one thing that's really happening here is a long list of wrestlers that are going to be in this event, from Hulk to Bret Hart to the Ultimate Warrior. How did you guys manage to put everything together? That's a long list.
Well, it is a long list, and I wish I could take 100% credit for it. We had a lot of vendors participating this year because of the location based in the Northeast, and there were a lot of people that just decided that this was going to be the big thing this year, and we've had a lot of help bringing in a lot of the guests. So if you notice, a lot of the guests were brought in by different vendors, so it's just a collection of everybody that wanted to bring their very best to one place, and that pretty much epitomizes what WrestleCon is about, is everybody's bringing the very best from the very best independent organizations to the very best talent, all under one roof.
And the cool thing is, you got Hulk Hogan from TNA, and then you got Ric Flair, who wasn't TNA, but now is WWE legend, and they're all going to be in the same building with, and another guy that we haven't heard from in a while or seen in person for a while is Ultimate Warrior. How are you going to get to, are there separate days? Because I know Hogan's an Ultimate Warrior. You don't see eye to eye. Are they going to be in separate days?
Oh, yeah, they're different days. They'll never see each other. So I know a lot of fans would prefer to see what happens when the two of them stare face to face. But Hulk Hogan is going to be there on Saturday, and Ultimate Warrior is there on Sunday. So their paths will never cross unless they somehow meet in the airport.
Now, some of these guys that will be there for photographs and autographs and so forth, they'd be participating in some of the wrestling events, correct?
There are some. We have over 100 wrestling guests signing, and then probably the same number of wrestlers participating in the shows, and there is a bit of a crossover between the two.
See, this time around, you got Evolved Live Wrestling, Combat Zone Wrestling, Dragon Gate Wrestling, Dragon Gate USA, and then Chikara. Anyone missing out? And are they all, do they all come with the entrance fee, or is it a separate fee?
No, it's a separate fee. What we did this year is we rented the big convention center, and there are a lot of vendors that paid to have a table, and they bring their guests. The wrestling organizations did the same. They rented space to bring their show there. So everything is a separately ticketed event. If you want to go to a live event, however, and that's the only thing you want to go to, you only need to buy a ticket to that particular live event. The expo is going to be on, you know, one half of the building, and the live events are going to be on the other half of the building. So if you want to go to only the live events and you have no interest in the expo, we make that available. And if you only want to go to the expo and you don't want to participate in the live events, we have that option as well.
Now, would you say this near South, there was one thing that it's not as big as from the longest of wrestlers and longest promotions that are hosting shows. Would you say this is the biggest one that you guys have participated in?
Unquestionably. I've been a vendor at many shows. I've promoted several shows. This is by far the biggest event that I've ever been a part of.
And about that, I mean, for the long list, it's just really, really amazing. And now, some of these guys, are they all going to be charging for an autographed picture, or are some of them already included with the admission?
Now, the admission price is $20 a day or a weekend pass for $30, and that gets you into the building. It's like any other science fiction or Star Trek or, you know, Wizard World. You pay an entrance fee to get in, and then after that, you buy what you want. I mean, if you want to meet a guy and just have a handshake and a hello, that's free. But if you want to get a photo op or an autograph, they do charge for that.
That is great. Well, Mike, thanks so very much. We'll see you this afternoon on the Roman Show. You can visit WrestleCon.com information. This is from April 5th to the 7th. This will be at the Meadowlands Exposition Center in New Jersey. Looking forward to that great event. Mike, thank you so very much for your time.
Ho! Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I'd like to listen to The Roman Show, tough guy. Ho!
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thank you. Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com. Or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company.
OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of the Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
If every day goes like this, how do we survive? We're working late on the night shift to get peace of mind. If every day goes like this, how do we survive? We're working late on the night shift to get peace of mind.
'49, MetLife Stadium, New Jersey. By the way, I'd like to mention, oh, wait a second, we got something here.
Breaking news.
Joe, the reporter on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, we just got reports this coming in. The text message just found stage in MetLife Stadium. Up on the oven, the pump. Right, he is waiting. Counting down for WrestleMania 29. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Roman Show. As I mentioned earlier, April 2nd, hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Christopher Daniels and Mike of WrestleCon. In just a few minutes, we are going to welcome my King Ferdinand, who you can see at the Florida Renaissance Festival, which is taking place at Miami's College Square Historic Village, 224. Old Dixie Highway on Saturdays and Sundays, started on March 30th and will run all the way till April 14th. Now, it's only on the weekends. You could check out ren-fest.com for information. The park opens up at 10 a.m. Admission starts at $20. Want to give a special thanks to the Miami-Dade County Youth Fair for allowing us to be out there this past Saturday. We had a blast. You can check all of the pictures, videos on our fan page, facebook.com/Roman Show Media. We have over 100 pictures you can feel free to tag yourself with, and exclusive interviews, which you can find on YouTube. That's youtube.com/rroman0201, or you can just go to the website, RodolfoRoman.com. We make it easy for you people. You don't have to be traveling around different websites. Just go to RodolfoRoman.com and you'll get the whole nine yards right there. Joe was part of the action. Joe, what'd you feel about that great night we had on Saturday, NXT action? And we had an opportunity to speak to all you guys that listened to us.
Oh, man. Roman, this year, NXT at the U Fair, I'm going to say that there was more crowd than last year.
Yep.
I mean,
it was.
Mind you, there was one surprise. I don't know if we should actually say it, but both of our jaw dropped when we saw this superstar we haven't seen in a long time. popped out of nowhere.
Yeah. Evan Bourne. He made an appearance at NXT. He had been out for a while, but he is back. And a good friend, photographer Speedy, took some great action shots, which you can check out on the website. Great shots. Great stuff. And we'll talk about more about the fair, but right now we got Mike King Ferdinand on the line, Joe, to talk to Florida Renaissance Festival. Mike King, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Let's talk about the Florida Renaissance Festival. You guys just had a small tent. Well, not a small tent, but you were out in Deerfield Beach for quite some time, and then you're back here in Homestead, which is the second year. Cauley Square.
Our second year, Cauley Square, yes.
Tell me about that, because you were also in at one point in Key Biscayne prior to that, correct?
That is correct. We did our first 2 years in Miami in Key Biscayne, and then we found the Cauley Square location. It's a really good feeling down there. Really nice place. Very shady. Nice atmosphere. It allows some great musical experiences and just fantastic. It's a fantastic time for the entire family.
Now, mind you, I haven't been to the Florida Renaissance Festival in a very long time, and the only one that I got to go to was Deerfield Beach. But I do remember a lot of fun, a lot of interaction with the folks out there. What can people expect when they go to the Florida Renaissance Festival? Can they really take Back to the Future? You know, they go back to Renaissance. They just forget about their whole daily lives out here in South Florida.
Well, that's basically what we try to do. We try to take you out of the 21st century, the grind, the daily grind, and we try to bring you back a little bit. It's as close as we could possibly get. At Cauley Square, we do have one interactive experience. It's a whole lot of fun. We're currently this year, if you get there, you can become part of our mystery quest. We have a whodunit called The Mystery of the Missing Deed, and you spend the day looking for clues and at the end of the day, with about 4:30 or so, we solve the mystery, and people who solve the mystery get knighted, and it's a lot of fun for the whole family, kids, the whole family can do it. That along with what you expect to find, but it's a little bit different. We have a jousting troupe called the Freelancers. It's full contact jousting. We got a lot of great musical acts. We have Kudu, the Iron Hill Vagabonds, Celtic Mayhem. Our own Ivanhoe Brass. It's a lot of music, a lot of fun, a lot of entertainment. We've got an amazing troupe called the Kamikaze Fireflies that are fantastic. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
Now I got to ask you guys, how do you keep your characters while you're at the Florida Renaissance Festival? The guys that work there, and is it hard?
It's a bit difficult. You've got to find the medium. You got to find somewhere like the middle ground between complete over-the-top character and yourself. I play a very gregarious Falstaffian kind of king. The queen is very, very genteel, very graceful, but at the same time, she's got this very, very sharp, very funny sense of humor. She's fantastic. You work at it. I mean, it's a combination of just learning your skills, plus you do a little bit of research. One of the things I like to try to do in the midst of all the fun and the joking and making everybody sure everybody's having a good time is I try to cram whatever history I can do it before they actually realize they might be learning something. So it's one of those things you try to do. It takes a bit of practice, but it's a lot of fun doing it. It's what I tell people who are actors. I say it's marathon endurance extreme acting. You're out there. There's no safety net. So
how much practice do you take in this? How much you guys are on here in South Florida? Late February to March,
yes.
And then here the second time around with March to April. But how much time do you guys spend reciting some of the stuff that you say, trying to change your accent?
Well,
because that's challenging.
I kind of call it the season of madness. Pretty much, my family knows that. Oh, it's January and goodbye until April. So, you start rehearsing as, because some of us are local, I'm local, and some of the actors are local. We also have some actors that come up from out of state, so pretty much when everybody gets together the first or second week of January, it's, you're going at it until show opens up in February, and then we do 6 weeks in Deerfield, and then, you know, we get Miami going shortly right thereafter. So it's, you know, it's a lot of work, but it's fun. It's worth it. It's great. You know, when someone at the end of the day goes, you know, it was great. Thank you very much. You know, it's, you know, that's the best. That's the best feeling in the world.
Do you find your relatives or friends like the same way you do at the Florida Renaissance Festival at times?
No, they don't let me, man. They yeah, sure. Home life is dedicated to keeping me in check. So there's a whole lot less your majesties and you know, buy your leaves and let me get that for you, your majesty. So, you know, I pick up the garbage at home and you know, and then wash the dishes, so.
Now, I was reading that you guys have bears and crocodiles and these exotic animals in a show.
Oh, that's one of the things. Yes, that's right. We have a wild animal show. There's a lion. They have a wolf. They have snakes. They have, you know, various animals that are. One end of Cauley Square. It's a fantastic show. That's another thing for the family. It's you're gonna find something. There'll be something there for something for everybody. So that's why I'm telling everybody to come down. They're gonna love it. So
that is awesome. And you can check information again, guys, at ren-fest.com. 10 a.m. to sunset Saturdays and Sundays from March 30th through April 14th. Now, has anyone by any chance? You know, because let's be honest, some fans out there, some folks that go there, they're trying to take it to the extreme. But have you find yourselves sometimes coming out of character to tell someone, hey, don't do that?
Occasionally, like, you know, the little kids with the wooden swords, but pretty much it's, you know, pretty much everybody there behaves. You know, had a couple of down with the kings, and by the end of the day, they're like, oh, you're cool. So, you know, it's a matter of knowing what you're doing and making sure that, you know, it's when I'm there, when I see myself as a part of it, it's, you know, I take my role of king very seriously. I'm the host. It's, you know, we're there. You know, we're here to do the festival. We want everybody to have a good time. So, it generally, I've seen very, very few problems in my time as king. So,
now I do know you guys have some great. You got some turkey legs for sale there, and I think once I saw a fried Oreo. But you could correct me with this if I'm wrong.
At Deerfield Beach, we did have fried Oreos. Here, we have a lot of good food at this place. There's a Cajun food place toward by the Chouse Field. We have a great mixed grill. We got a place called Dave's Donuts, which is pretty much our commissary. We've got some great Peruvian food. I mean, honestly, and hard to believe this, at a Renaissance Festival, some of the best ceviche you'll find in this city. So. I'm not kidding. It's the best. We've got food for everybody, and you know, drinks, and yeah, it's a great time, man. At the end of the day, we get together for pub sing. You get yourself your cold cider, and you sit down and listen to some fantastic music. So it's a great time, you know. Well, it's one of the things about the job. It's sometimes I go, yeah, it's hard work, and I'm going, you know, who am I kidding? I mean, I'm having a ball doing it. So you know, it's.
It sounds like fun. You just made it's 9:13 p.m. Eastern time, but gosh, let me tell you, you made me hungry right now, King.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Just, you know what? Get something to just hold yourself off, and then Saturday, be at the festival and get some really good food. So
there you go. Yes, sir. My King Ferdinand here letting us know about what is happening over at the Florida Renaissance Festival. You guys got to check it out. 224-00 Old Dixie Highway, Saturdays and Sundays, March 30th. Well, we just started this past weekend, all the way through April 14th. For information, you can visit ren-fest.com. The park opens at 10 a.m. all the way till sunset. And thankfully for us, sunset means like about roughly 7 o'clock, right? Roughly?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Yeah, roughly 9 o'clock. Hours of party.
There you go. Nonstop action. Guys, go out there. Don't miss the fun and the action. Fun. Family event. You can't miss it. Mike King, thank you so very much for calling in, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There you go, guys. Hang out at the Florida Renaissance Festival, as I mentioned, at Miami's Cauley Square Historic Village. And if you haven't been there, you have to go, especially if you live in South Florida. You know, it was funny. One day, Joe, have you yourself checked out Miami Cauley Square?
No, I haven't.
Well, let me tell you, one day I was reporting, I was doing a story. It actually happened to be one of the coldest days in Miami. It was about 30 degrees. And they had what they call, I can't remember the event, but they go out and they pick up all these strawberries, you know, the strawberry fields down in Homestead.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of farmland. And it so happens that the meeting point is at Miami's College Square Historic Village. And at this place, you walk in there and literally it does not seem like you are in South Florida. It seems like you are in some village, you know, surrounded by trees. And that's what he was talking about, a lot of shade. And it's true. It doesn't seem like you are in South Florida. So you guys got to go check this out. You know, get away from the clubs for a day and get some new light into your life. You'll definitely check it out. The weekends, all the way through April 14th. I'll tell you this, Joe. It'll be a great weekend, especially on this Sunday, WrestleMania Sunday. You head out to the Florida Renaissance Festival. You leave like about 4 o'clock and go out and enjoy WrestleMania. You can't get any better than that.
Enjoy some good jousting and then watch WrestleMania.
There we go. And then, again, $20 for adults. Children 5 and younger are free. Again, one more time, Cawley Square Historic Village, 22400 Old Dixie Highway in, I think I want to say it's in Homestead, the actual location. But, you know, there's that borderline of Redlands, Homestead, and all of that stuff. But it's in South Miami-Dade, so you can check that out. Not that far. You can just take the turnpike all the way down. It'll take you right to it. So make sure you guys check that out. Don't miss it. The weekends all the way through April 14th, and you want to visit ren-fest.com. I apologize for I am a little. We were talking, Joe, the directors or director John of the East film Barbed Wire City, but over this past weekend we were had an opportunity to. You guys listen to us. It's just amazing, Joe, how much of support we have in less than a year. How many people came up to us? Oh, man, it really truly is. And I'm really thankful for all you guys listening to us every single week. Really do.
Yeah.
Really,
I was amazed how many people showed
and
up.
Some folks
and,
had over about 2,000 or roughly. You got to remember that people are going in and out, but you had great action from, we got some interviews there with Broder's friend, Naomi. And Derek, two young guys who are trying to make it into the main roster. So check that out. Well, before we proceed in just a few minutes with the director, John Barbara, you know, they got to keep being creative with this stuff, especially the folks who are advocates of marijuana. And by the way, links of the story that we'll put Facebook page. But according to the Huffington Post, the headline reads, "Baked Cookbook Uses Pot, Hash, Other Drugs for Mind-Blowing Gourmet Food from Amsterdam." So this is what they do. And this is apparently with hashish quenils and a marijuana kuis, followed by a dessert of raspberry marijuana bombi coated in hashish chocolate with morning and magic truffles. Then wash it down with a savory cappuccino of ballicrotum, hashish, and baby wood rose. The new book. Yeah,
wow.
You could actually purchase this thing. It's called Baked Cookbook. It blends high cuisine with the three drugs. And it's according to Misha Sukyas, created the buzz with the Arnold Amsterdam ad agency and Stussy Menswear to help clothing retailer fresh cotton promote its spring collection in a combination recipe lookbook. So if you lost all comprehension after hashish chocolate, we get it. Just remember that many of the active ingredients in baked are illegal in the United States. So sorry, guys. Here in the States, you can't cook any of these marijuana chicken rolls because marijuana is not completely legal in every single state.
Just say it's already.
Yeah. Now, they got other books you could check out here. The Stoner's Cookbook and, of course, Ooh. High Times Cannabis Cookbook.
Now you're making me get hungry.
I don't know what to think about that one, man. How about this one? This is and at a zoo. Well, let's just say an Easter egg hunt just turned out really, really ugly. And this is Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle. Now, a statement on the release. Father Monday afternoon had to be separated 3 years ago. The mother was still there when it arrived. He wasn't interested in pursuing search without any info. Violence over Easter eggs, and it happened in Seattle, Washington. This for change. Who knew that the Easter bunny? Do you know that one? I think we for a second. Joe, you there?
Yeah, I was just having a little back connection.
Joe, you there? Okay.
Yeah.
I see that. Well, check this out. Yeah, apparently the Easter Bunny was pulled over. San Diego officer stops rabbit on a motorcycle. This is a true story. San Diego officer Adam Griffiths pulled over a full-body white rabbit costume Saturday. According to he announced this video and stopping the Easter Bunny. Groove said he stopped the rabbit suited and the rabbit cycle without a helmet. Additionally, the large rabbit head was a visual impairment. Who was on his way to a charity event, got off with just a warning. He ended up removing the rabbit head and showing it in his sidecar for the remainder of his trip.
Well, at least they gave him a warning.
To a charity event.
At least they gave him a warning.
An Easter Bunny suit, he gets stopped by. That, oh, man. Well, listen. We all remember how much of a success the Jersey Shore had. Well, the MTV has this new show called Buck Wild. Did you see Buck Wild before?
No, I haven't. You know, after MTV stopped playing music videos, it's like, eh.
Right, well, it's not the Jersey Shore, but take the Jersey Shore and it's a redneck town. That's what you're going to get. An unfortunate news. Shane Gandy, who was one of the main stars there, was found dead. Apparently, he died of carbon monoxide. But some unfortunate news here. The family needs cash to cover his expenses. What they call here. And you're going to have to, I'm taking this for word. I heard of this about I've heard of that stuff in my life. But it's apparently something that they do often over there in those type of places. muddling. And according to the dictionary, turning into a disorder, muddling up the cards, but they use it in a different way as far as entertainment. And poor Shane Gandy has passed away, and he was a big star in this reality show called Buckwheat, or Buckwild, sorry, Buckwild.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy, poor guy. I also want to talk about in regards to speak about accidents and tragedies. Did you catch that horrific accident? Well, not really accident, but sports injury that happened in the Louisville in the NCAA basketball tournament. The guys, and it wasn't even his knee, it was the lower part of his leg, the bone, as he tried to go for a block, he landed, it seemed like he landed badly on his right leg, and as he fell down, his bone popped out, literally hanging, half of his leg just dangling around. And if you look at the replay, at one point, his leg looked like an L shape. But the guy right now is doing all right. He's actually in crutches. And his team, Louisville, won that game against Duke. And when they asked him today, they were talking to him. He said that, hey, you know, I want to get back on the court. Isn't that great? After recovering he's able to be on his crutches at least. But if you were to see this video, it is terrific. It's horrific, Joe. It really is.
No, I saw the picture that you posted up on the Roman page.
It is.
The Roman show page? I saw that picture you posted up there. It was.
Oh, man. Poor guy. But he's good to go. And thank God for that. Good thing for that. Apparently those injuries happen often, believe it or not. Just so happened if it got caught on TV. Turning now to some lighter news, and you know, science, you know, nature is it's beautiful, but yeah, I just have to read this. Male bats, okay, you ready for this? Are you ready for this, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Male bats have been seen giving oral sex to females. This is a truth. This is according to Live Science reports. Bats in India have a good thing going on. Scientists analyzing a colony of about 420 fruit-eating bats, they observed males performing oral sex on females. Over more than 13 months, researchers saw 57 cases of sex, both intercourse and oral. Males gave oral sex for an average of about 50 seconds, intercourse for another 10 to 20, and more oral for another 94 to 188. Scientists noted that longer pre-sex oral sex led to longer copulation, which may enhance conception. Or the males may give oral sex to clean off the sperm of other bats. Now, that's disgusting.
Male bats. I really got nothing else to say on that one. That one just said it itself.
These are true stories. I don't make this up. Again, make sure you like our fan page. You'll read all up about it.
Male bats.
Now, we spoke about a little violence there caused by the Easter eggs. But how about violence starting or stemming from a pretzel dip?
Oh, God.
This is true. This is very true. This happened in Detroit. An Auntie Anne's pretzel eatery in a Detroit area mall was recently home to a vicious brawl. Two women returned to the kiosk after discovering that they had been giving the wrong dip and asked for the right one. After the 19-year-old and 22-year-old were reportedly told they'd have to purchase a new dip because they'd already consumed part of the incorrect dip, an employee allegedly threw dip at them. Cops say the suspect then tried to climb over the counter and a fight ensued. Jesus. He gave me the wrong dip?
So who? The famous Amos broke up the fight?
I don't know who broke up the fight in this case. Now, Yesterday was April Fool's. But unfortunately for this one here, it led to an arrest. Officers in K-9 said they found the butt of an April Fool's Day joke when a Waffle House employee reported a fabricated robbery. Susan Tinker was arrested and charged Monday with falsely summoning police. When authorities responded to her 911 call, they interviewed employees while K-9 sniffed the scene for evidence, a process which took more than an hour. Review of the surveillance footage proved the incident was an April Fool's Day hoax. Hampton police said the station that officers won't take pranks like Tinker's lightly. Come on. How in the hell are you going to pull out an April Fool's Day joke on cops? That must be the most stupidest thing you could ever do. Seriously.
I wouldn't do anything on April Fool's joke on April Fool's Day and involve the cops. I'll put them one day in the slammer. I'll put them one day in the slammer. Let's see how that April Fool jokes. Let's see how you like that.
It keeps getting worse now. In California, this is according to the AP, it's a plane crash that wasn't in South California. The Riverside Press Enterprise reports that a Yucapa businessman staged an elaborate April Fool's joke on Monday. Billy Cheeseman, Jr. used a forklift to arrange a small aircraft on the fence that runs in front of his equipment rental business as if it had nosedived there. He also strung yellow caution tape around to make it resemble a crash scene. Cheeseman says someone gave him the two-seat experimental plane, and he's been trying to figure out what to do with it. He notified the police before he set up the prank at Redlands Yucapa Rentals. Still messing around with the cops. You're being an idiot for that. All right, well, check this out. It just keeps getting worse.
Oh, God. But
a
I love it.
Flagrantly fragrant. New Jersey man was arrested after he allegedly stole, check this, this is going to drive you nuts, $117,000 worth of perfume. Juan Berno allegedly employed a 17-year-old boy to help him pull off the heist. The two are accused of loading thousands of bottles swiped with Cosmetic Essence Innovations. Cops say Berno stole 1,894.2-ounce bottles of Fifth Avenue by Elizabeth Arden Friday, valued at $109,000, $620. That's how much it was valued, close to $110,000. He also reportedly took 234 3.4-ounce bottles of Victoria's Secret Pink, valued at close to
$7,500. Wow. First of all, who's going to spend that much money on perfume? Besides the rich people, but dang.
Well, that jabroni was held in jail on a $100,000 bail, which
how much?
It's $100,000, which is actually cheaper than all the perfume he stole. A Pittsburgh strip club is going to court for the right to hire off-duty cops as security. Blush, a strip club in the city's cultural district, has long used off-duty cops until a recent order by acting police chief. Blush lawyer said he is seeking an injunction to halt the new policy because it violates the Constitution's equal protection guarantees by singling out strip clubs under the new order. So officers are still permitted to work off-duty details at other businesses, but not at strip clubs. So Kameen fears that yet it could have a chilling effect on the adult entertainment business in Pittsburgh since off-duty police officers have provided security for the strip club. So there you go, man. If you're trying to get some extra cash as an officer, well, it's not the place to do it.
No, and I bet you anything that probably those cops that were there in their off duties, you know, doing the little work details. I bet you, I'm not gonna say the crime, but you know the behavior probably got a little bit less than usual.
Yes, very odd. Let's go to a quick little break. We'll be right back with the director of Barbed Wire City, an ECW documentary, and followed by Johnny Fairplay here on The Roman Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. Make sure you guys keep listening to The Roman Show, and I know you can dig that, sucker!
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
All right, we are back. We're trying to get a hold right now of John of Barbed Wire City, which the documentary VCW. It's a collection of a lot of footage of ECW. And we're going to try to get a hold of them. They're going to have a premiere on April 20th in Philadelphia, home of ECW. And people could already start getting the tickets to the premiere. They're available online at barbedwirecity.com/store. We're going to go ahead and reach out there. To so Block Talk Radio is a little acting up real quick here. You know how this thing is, Joe.
Yeah.
Block Talk Radio put you on blast again. I'm just saying. Block Talk keeps messing up. And by the way, so again, thank you so very much to all the folks out there that attended during the youth fair. Check out all the pictures, all the videos. Really, truly appreciate it. Very humbling moment to see all you guys out there. It was really a camaraderie to see everyone together at once. You know that, Joe? It really was.
Yeah. It was.
It really, really was. It really, truly was. And don't worry, we're going to still talk about WrestleMania in just a few minutes, but we're going to get a hold of John right now.
All right.
Of Barbed Wire City, who I know was trying to get some donations to help him out with the production of it. As you know, it's not cheap to create a movie, as such, which they took so much time. And they've held this footage for such a long time, very long time. And until now, they're actually releasing it so the people could see it, the public can see it. And we've had guys like Mikey Whipwreck and Blue Meanie, and they said that they are really shocked to hear and see people still talking about ECW. And there he is, John. Barbed Wire City. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
How are you, John? How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I was listening to your show the last 20 minutes.
Oh,
I was interested to hear what you're doing, man. I forgot how much I like listening to radio.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. Hopefully you were entertained there. It's just amazing some of the stuff that goes on in this world. You know? Get it. Fight over Easter eggs and bats giving oral sex. I don't know what's going on with this world. But let's talk to Barbed Wire City, documentary of ECW. And, you know, I remember seeing a video on YouTube about you guys. And I know you had that Kickstarter project thing going on. How you guys were talking about how you had all this footage. And until now, 2013, you actually put something together. And you're going to debut it on April 20th at the Asylum Arena, formerly the ECW Arena, on the corner of Swanson and Rittner Street in South Philadelphia. And the doors will open at 5 p.m. with a small meet and greet where people from the documentary will mingle with the folks out there. And you can get your tickets right now at barbedwirecity.com. How much footage do you have, John?
I think it's up around 60 hours at this point.
Wow.
I kind of stopped keeping count after. I think we added excuse me. I think we added another 15 to 20 hours between the start of Kickstarter and now. I think the very last interview we did was in February. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. It took me over a month to catalog as far as, like, writing down minute by minute what was going on and where I thought it could even possibly go. And I had to watch every interview. And once we restarted the project, I had to watch everything, you know, obsessively to try to, you know, whittle it down and make sense.
I got to ask you, I'm assuming that this stuff was on VHS or, you know, small tapes. I mean, this is not digital stuff, right?
No, this is the earliest stuff was shot on Hi-8, and then the last stuff was shot digitally, yeah.
So you have to go back out there and capture all that footage, turn it into digital. So it's really a long process you guys have to go through.
Yeah, yeah, and then color correction, sound edits. I mean, I think we have to hand this thing in on Thursday to get the DVDs replicated, and so we're still, like, tweaking little things and, you know, arguing about, you know, the size of the fonts of the titles and all the unfun stuff. The last month is like the uncreative stuff. You know, it's no longer about the narrative, which is the part that I love, and more about, like, can you hear this person? Should we subtitle this person? You know, is this music clip too high? You know, does this photo blend in correctly? You know, it's not the most exciting stuff the last month, so I'll be happy when it's all done.
So you said that your last film was in November. So did you catch up with some of these guys you had interviewed in the past, kind of catch up with them? I know that they had some sort of a meet and greet. They had the Extreme Rising. There were some ECW guys there. Did you happen to do a lot of filming there?
We filmed the very first Extreme Rising show when it was still called Extreme Reunion. They did the first reunion and announced the promotion. We filmed for 3 days at that, so we caught up with a lot of people. So we have a bunch of interviews that are 11 years apart, which was really cool because you get to see what happened to everybody. The big things that we were focused on were kind of the business aspects of, like, an underdog company. And I really wanted to reach outside of, you know, what typically wrestling fans look for. We didn't deal with anything involving storylines. Or character profiles. We really, like, I didn't want to talk to New Jack, for instance. I wanted to talk to Jerome Young, you know. So I was trying to get at the human aspect of why these people would do what they did and what they wanted. And what I kind of found out was these guys really see themselves as entertainers in the same way that a comedian would or see himself as an entertainer or an actor would see himself as some sort of artist. But it's this weird fringe entertainment, and they were killing themselves for next to no money. You know, and they're not famous for it. And that's kind of interesting because I think people assume if you get hit in the head with a chair really hard a lot of times or dive off of a balcony, you must have gotten really well compensated because most people would never do that. And that's not necessarily true with these guys. So you get to see their story spread out over, you know, almost 20 years in a sense.
You know, and, you know, we just had Mikey Whipwreck, who was actually, it's funny, you mentioned, you know, they look at themselves like entertainers, but now some of them are, I think it was Mikey Whipwreck, he says he lives in a mountain and he works for a cable company. You know, these are guys that put their bodies on the line. What's that?
Mikey is up in the Poconos. He's like 45 minutes away from where I live in Allentown.
And did you get to catch up with him as well, to, you know, after ECW?
No, we got him in 2001, but he wasn't at the reunion. I spoke to him a few weeks ago at a show in Long Island. I went up to visit for Jerry Lynn's last East Coast, essentially Jerry Lynn's East Coast retirement show in Long Island. And I just spoke with him briefly. He's talked about coming to the premiere, actually. So, you know, I'll have to get in touch with him again.
So with this project, I know you had a Kickstarter. So how much did it take to put this thing together? And how much did the public help you out?
Oh, a lot, a lot. It got to the point where, I mean, that's one of the reasons the project was stalled for so long was because we just didn't have the money to complete it. And then somebody told me about Kickstarter, and I didn't know if it would work. And then, you know, we tried to get a budget together, and I really freaked out at the initial budget. I thought it was too much money. And so we asked for less money, but we went over the asking price. So it worked out for the most part. it's a lot of nickel and dime stuff, you know. It's, you know, color correction of things. It's, you know, the licensing of footage, the licensing of quote photography from several different sources, you know, visuals as far as like torches and lariats, which were newsletters, which are essentially like trade journals for wrestling. So we licensed the covers of those. You know, the gifts cost a lot of money, actually. That's one of the funny things is you're asking for money, but you have to give people back something. So the DVDs aren't really the high cost. It's T-shirts, posters, postcards, all these little things. And then the other thing we promised everybody was we would do a premiere in Philly. So you got to get a building. You know, you've got to get a projector. You've got to get a screen and everything. So it's not just money for the documentary. Now it becomes what you're kind of bargaining with people for. So that's the whole process. And luckily, the fans who have chipped in, and not just wrestling fans, people who just liked documentaries and liked our story, or the idea of our story anyway, they've all been really kind, and they've all been really supportive, and I'm, like, really excited about April 20th. And we're opening it up to everybody, so it's not just Kickstarter people who are being sent tickets, but anybody can come. It starts at 7 p.m., and it's only $15 for a ticket.
$15, and they'll be able to see it now. Are you going to sell the DVDs afterwards? And
yeah,
how much will they go for?
They'll go on sale that night, and they're already on sale on pre-order on our website, barbedwirecity.com. Or you could just go to barbedwirecity.com/store, but there's a link on the main page anyway, and they're $25.
$25.
And eventually we will have digital downloads.
So you could be able to get it on iTunes or anything like that?
Yeah. We could be able to do it right off of our site, but also eventually iTunes and Amazon. It's just that they set price. I think Amazon sets their own prices, and not that I would charge a ton for a digital download because it's, you know, there's no extra cost. But Amazon sets its own price, and I think iTunes takes half your money. So I think initially we just want to get it out to the people on our own. To try to keep costs. I'm trying to do the best I can to give people a good product while also not like having to pay out more money at the end of the day, kind of a thing, you know. Business stuff.
Right.
It's not really my forte. I just want to make films, you know.
Now we're talking to John of Barbed Wire City. You can check out their Facebook page too, facebook.com/barbedwirecity. Now, aside from getting the money, any other challenges that you met during the production? Putting this thing together?
Getting people to talk to you is difficult. And getting wrestlers to talk to you and then some of them would try to hold you up for money after they did the interview. They wouldn't sign the release. They'd do the interview and then be like, yeah, I can't sign that. You know, we should talk about financial compensation. And I was like, you know, it's a documentary. It's just an interview. So there's little things like that. Negotiating with people to even do the interviews. A lot of times some people were like, don't ask me this or ask me that. And I was like, no, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really work that way. I have a specific narrative I'm trying to, you know, to get at here. So there was just a lot of logistical things to get, you know. Kickstarter helped us out a lot though. That was the big thing, was just having the funds to be able to complete everything and to travel to a few places. And but also getting in Extreme Marine for 3 days and getting to document and get a lot of interviews, catching up with people. That was huge for us. It's something I didn't expect. And that was, you know, that wasn't a monetary thing. So that was good. The biggest challenge is probably trying to take 60 hours and make it into a 2-hour movie. That's the biggest challenge.
How about WWE? Did they approach you at anything? Did you have any issues with them?
Not yet. But that doesn't mean they won't. I mean, we're not using any footage that they own, you know. And it is called the unauthorized ECW documentary for a reason. I mean, we're not promoting a wrestling federation called ECW or Extreme Championship Wrestling. It's literally, you know, we're doing a story about them. So I'm not really promoting anything that, you know, there's disclaimers all over the place on our website, on the actual movie, you know, that makes it clear that we have no affiliation to WWE or them to us, you know.
Gotcha. And we're speaking to John at Barbed Wire City. I see that you got some movie posters there for sale for $10. You got the DVD, not Blu-ray, right? Or you can correct me if I'm wrong.
What?
It's on DVD, not. It's on DVD, not Blu-ray.
On DVD, yeah, not Blu-ray, not yet.
Okay, but do you have plans of getting in a Blu-ray in the future?
I don't know. See, the footage is older. It's a very raw thing. Like the B-roll that we used is fan cam footage that we licensed from RF Video. A lot of our earlier stuff, like I said, was shot on high 8, which doesn't really convert. So I mean, we could put it out on Blu-ray, but you know, I'm not sure it would look too different. I mean, obviously the technologies are changing, and it probably will happen, but it's not like at the forefront of what we're doing yet.
Gotcha. Well, John, I want to thank you so very much. And guys, in Philadelphia, the day is April 20th, 7 p.m., the Asylum Arena, formerly the ECW Arena, the corner of Swanson and Rittner Streets in South Philadelphia. 7 West Rittner Street, Philadelphia. Make sure you're there. Doors open at 5 p.m. You can get your tickets right now, barbedwirecity.com. You can get the DVD at the same site. Just click on the store and also check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/barbedwirecity. John, thank you so very much. And we would like to catch up with you to see how that premiere was.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll come on anytime. Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you so very much, and good work there.
Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, they heard it. Barbed Wire City. It'd be great to see. You know what I mean? Joe, you there?
Can you repeat that again? Block Talk is messing up again.
Of course. That it'd be great to see some of the old footage of ECW, stuff that we haven't seen.
See, these are these documentaries that I would watch instead of, like, the ones that, like, WWE makes. Because to me, like, the ones from WWE is they want to show what they want. They want us to see. You know, we want to see, like, how he says, you know, he has all that old footage. And honestly, to put that into, like, a Blu-ray, I would rather watch it on a regular DVD, having that rustic look from the early 90s, mid-90s, you know?
Right.
So I'd rather watch it like that. It kind of, you know, like maybe you see the video kind of like shaking or stuff like that, and it will really look good.
Yeah, and you know, that's how ECW was. They didn't use anything high-tech.
No.
Weird angles. That's what made them different. So I would agree with you there, that to have that real feel to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it is what ECW is. You know, people see this stuff. I can't remember right now, but with that being said, let's go to a small break. Barbed Wire City is the documentary, the premiere. Check it out. It's going to be good stuff. And heck, hopefully we get an opportunity to see it as well so we can tell you guys our thoughts on it. All that being said, let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. We have a packed show, man.
Yeah.
Whew. It's all WrestleMania, man. We'll be right back.
All right.
What's up? This is Kaz from TNA Wrestling. You're listening to The Roman Show.
Yo, high five. Yo, hey, monkey. It's me, DDP. The king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, are you monkey? You're listening to The Roman Show. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Back to Block Talk Radio. Justin Timberlake, You got your suit and tie, Joe?
Yeah, yep, I'm still in tune.
You know, I got a friend of mine who always tells me, better to look good than to feel good. I think that's a true statement.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, you can feel like crap inside, but if you look good, people will kind of assume that you look good. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
It's just the way that you really express yourself and look at yourself. But
right
while we're on break there.
Yeah.
What's that? While we're on break,
that.
No,
go ahead.
I was caught. This story just caught my attention here. And it happened in Pennsylvania. So a former Pennsylvania jail inmate says he didn't sneak a cell phone into the lockup in his prosthetic leg. Though he acknowledged having it for a year as he pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct. So instead, 28-year-old Christopher Gear tells a judge the phone was in his cargo shorts when he reported in 2011 to serve a sentence for driving on a suspended license. Gear says he kept the phone because inmates at the county jail lockup, 40 miles south of Pittsburgh, must pay $4 for call. Gear pleaded guilty Tuesday, but the warden doesn't believe Gear smuggled the phone in either his pocket or his leg. So this guy brought his phone in a prosthetic leg. That's
How
a
did
smart
he charge
way of
it?
Sneaking it in.
How was he charging his phone?
That's a good question. Maybe he had one of those cases that just automatically charge your phone. I would assume. I mean, that's the only way I could think of.
That's funny. I like it how the warden doesn't even believe that he had a phone on him.
Yeah. Okay, so a seedy incident in this Florida celebrates 500 years today, actually. A seedy incident involving papayas and bare buttocks has led to the arrest of a woman in Vero Beach, Florida. Susan Wasden was due in court Tuesday morning to respond to allegations that she pummeled an ex-boyfriend with papayas on March 10th and exposed her bottom to him along with a 16-year-old male. When Vero Beach police responded to a disturbance that day, they said they were met by a very intoxicated Wasden, whose pants were partially down and whose very ear was partially exposed. According to police affidavit, Wasden said the ex-boyfriend came to her home looking for her birthday sex.
Yeah, that's a nice papaya shake.
So Wasden's 60-year-old neighbor said that Wasden had come to his trailer earlier in the evening wanting a cigarette and beer and started screaming when he didn't oblige. She then allegedly began hitting the boyfriend, pushed him down, pushed him into some glass, and started throwing papayas at both of them.
Wow. Papaya.
I didn't know papayas were so deadly.
Those black seeds.
Okay, so what do you do when you don't have any money? And you take a cab.
When I take a cab.
Yeah. So let's say you're riding a cab. Say you're in New York and you have no cash. You just have plastic. How do you pay?
What, if I have plastic?
Yep, that's all you got, but you need money. They need hard, cold cash.
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. What do we do in this case?
Well, a Philadelphia man, short on cash, learned that lesson the hard way when he allegedly tried to pay his $8 cab fare with marijuana. 6th District Police Captain Brian Court said 23-year-old Michael Medbeck tried to play a cabbie with a bag of marijuana to pay for the fare. Unfortunately for him, officers were standing within several feet of the cab and responded quickly when a driver reported that Medbeck couldn't pay what was owed. Poor guy.
Oh, wow.
Cut the guy some slack, man. Yeah, they didn't have some money. What's the big deal?
That was the $8 plus tip.
Can't go wrong with that. All right, let's get a hold of Johnny Fairplay, former TNA. Trying to get a hold of him, hopefully. Hopefully our Block Talk Radio.
Enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while you're
partying. Here we go. You're going to have to excuse the music there, guys. Getting a hold of Johnny Fairplay.
Hello.
Hey, Johnny, welcome to the Roman Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Did you hear my Benny Hill ring tone or whatever?
Yes, is it the chicken dance? Is it the, no, it's the, isn't it like a, it was a, from a famous comedy show?
It's, yeah, it's the Benny Hill theme music, they play at the end of the show when he try to touch boobies, and there's always fast running. Yeah.
That is a classic show, I must admit. But Johnny Fairplay, thank you so much for taking some time speaking to us. Russell Khan is this weekend taking place in New Jersey, Meadowlands Expo Center, April 5th through the 7th. You can visit RussellKhan.com for more information. Johnny, you were in TNA for a certain time and also on Survivor, the show. And I got to plug you. Do you still have realitygeek.com? That's something I learned about you there. Do you still have that site that you would talk about reality shows?
Nah, I don't do it anymore. Too much trouble.
Too much?
I just watch and tweet now. That's enough for me.
So let's talk about WrestleCon. It's an opportunity to meet wrestling fans and fans who are just interested in entertainment itself. Going to WrestleCon was such a big convention of professional wrestlers and people who are involved with professional wrestling. Going into this event, are you excited? Because Mike, we spoke to Mike of WrestleCon, who told me that this is the largest convention that has professional wrestlers or those involved with professional wrestling.
Yeah, I listened to the whole show. I enjoyed listening to Mike and Daniels and the Renaissance guy, and I was wondering when you're going to get to me.
We say the best for that, Johnny.
thank you. So no, I'm stoked. I've done some other wrestling conventions in the past, and this is by far the biggest one I've ever seen. I hope the fans are bringing a lot of money and making sure they go to my my booth first and spend it with me. Actually, spend all of it with me. I don't even care. It's okay.
But with this, tell me about the interaction you get with fans here. Some guys that haven't seen you like on a TNA. And what are the things that some of these people say or you feel free to share with them? Stuff that maybe perhaps they didn't even know about you.
I've been on 70 television shows. I was on Celebrity Fear Factor, Celebrity Poker Showdown. I won Celebrity Bull Riding. I've been on 2 seasons of Survivor. The Dead Grandmother Lie is known as, by most people, as the greatest moment in the history of Survivor. So, I mean, I was with TNA for 2 years. I'm not sure how many appearances I did in those 2 years. I got paid, which was nice, but I wasn't on TV every week. But I was also did some stuff with Ring of Honor. I've done some stuff with Dragon Gate and there's a promotion out of Winnipeg called WFX. It was on American One Network, and we did about a year's worth of programming. I managed Jesse Godders, who's now in TNA with Tara, and we did a whole deal with Eugene, and we brought in Rupert from Survivor and a few with Bushwhacker Luke, and Jesse and another guy named John Cutler. They became the Hollywood Love Guns, and we had a pretty good run there, and then feuded with Bob Holly and Billy Gunn. So that was probably the most fun I've had in wrestling. But I've done a ton of wrestling. It's just you gotta look for it, I guess. So I guess that's the biggest thing you wouldn't know is that I've done a lot more than you know I did.
And you used to also run New Dimension Wrestling.
I worked for New Dimension Wrestling. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
Yeah, hello.
So, I worked for New Dimension Wrestling when I lived in Greensboro, North Carolina, and before the Hardys were in WWE and worked with Shane Helms, and I feuded mostly, I had a group called the Fair Play Revolution, and we feuded with babyface named Venom that he left right after the Hardys and became Joey Abs of the Mean Street Posse. So after I moved from Greensboro to D.C. and then D.C. to Portland, Oregon, I started New Dimension Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. And I wrote, produced, and was the heel commentator for my own Portland wrestling television show. So it was pretty fun. I got in a little bit of trouble for some of the gimmicks I created for some of the wrestlers. I had Coach Mike, the child molesting coach with the most. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years and you have Penn State. It's like, hey, it's kind of the same thing, but it's okay for TMZ, but not cable access.
Oh, no. And we're talking to Johnny Fairplay of Survivor and also on was on TNA. You can follow him on Twitter at Johnny Fairplay. Now, Johnny, I also saw you on Judge Alex. You said that you're a big fan of it, huh?
Judge Alex, though? Yeah. Judge Alex, he was pretty cool. Like, I did an appearance in, what, Tacoma, Washington, for Coach Mike Jones, like the guy I was talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I did an appearance for him, and, well, we didn't mention that on the Judge Alex show. That was funny. He's just like, please don't mention the gimmick you gave me. But I did an appearance for him, and the advertising wasn't what he had promised, and some other stuff, and he actually had the money to pay me, but he used that money for hot dogs and hamburgers for an outside event in Washington State, which that day it decided to rain, so instead of paying me my appearance fee, he had a bunch of hot dogs and hamburgers, I guess, for the next 2 years of his life. I don't know what the freezer date is on hot dogs and hamburgers, but I'm sure he's still enjoying today.
Well, Johnny, what's the current status of you in wrestling? And have you reached out to a TNA or even maybe, although it's a cookie cutter in PG right now, WWE or Ring of Honor?
I have zero desire to go to WWE. And at one time, that would have been a nice goal. But after my first Survivor, I actually had the option of WWE or TNA, and I chose TNA. And I don't really regret it, but like at this time in my life, I have a daughter. She's 5 years old, and the WWE schedule doesn't work for me personally. So that's something that, you know, if it did happen, that would have been in the past, and so it's not. With TNA, I talk with Dixie Carter on a semi-regular basis, and when the time's right, you could see a Johnny Fairplay return. As far as Ring of Honor, Jim Cornette and I never got along. I know Delirious has the book now, so you know I guess there's a possibility. But I'm pretty spendy, I'll be honest. I'm not. I don't come cheap. So probably Ring of Honor's not going to be like a regular basis type fit for me either. So I mean, I know my worth. I mean, I when my first season of Survivor. They were the number five show in America, and we went against the last season of Friends, and I can honestly say I single-handedly took them to the number one show in America, my season finale, in which people were glued to their TV hoping I would be voted out. I think I had 33 million viewers. So, like, I feel that there's not too many personalities in the world of wrestling that can bring numbers like that. I think used correctly, I think people would tune in to see, you know, what's Johnny Fairplay going to do next and you know, and when is Johnny Fairplay going to get his comeuppings. So it's just a matter of being used correctly and the timing being right.
Now, I know that's sort of the money. It's not much you're worth, but at WrestleCon, I know Dragon's Gate is going to be there. I think Shikar, would you do just a stint, just a one-time type of thing? Just to get the feel.
I would have if the schedule had worked out. I'm actually flying Thursday to Tampa. I'm playing in the Mike Allstott Celebrity Golf Invitational, and that's Thursday and Friday. So I get into New York Saturday morning at like 10 a.m. I'm going straight from the airport to the venue to sign autographs. And I have plans Saturday night that do not involve wrestling. Actually, I'll be having dinner with Mike Vick, and probably the word wrestling will not come up for that entire night, except in case he's like, "What are you doing tomorrow?" It's like signing autographs at WrestleCon and going to WrestleMania. So yeah, it's just I don't have a lot of free time, and you know, the time that I do have, I choose to spend, you know, kind of how I want to. So.
Now I saw some of your posts out there on Twitter, and it seems that you had been in some other conventions, and there was a video there of Jake the Snake. You good friends with him?
We had the booth beside one another at the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte 2 weekends ago. And Jake, it's me, Jake, Sin Bodhi. A lot of people will remember him as a Kazani. Great talent. I still think we haven't seen the last of him. And it's just a really fun weekend. Jake's doing great. His shoulder was hurting him a little bit, but I mean, it's great talking with a fresh-headed Jake the Snake. You know, he's clean and doing awesome, and plenty of DDP stories of about taking his shirt. And so DDP explained to Jake that he doesn't need shirts with negative messages on them because it just conveys negative energy. And I'm pretty convinced that DDP just wants Jake to wear his DDP yoga shirts. But yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, no, it's amazing what DDP has done for Jake the Snake, and not for Scott Hall, because Scott Hall's
looking
good as well.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff. I got a chance to listen to 4.5 hours of Scott Hall on the PW Torch live cast. I think that was 2 weeks ago as well, and it's just amazing hearing. I mean, like, I've known Scott for years. We were both at TNA at the same time, and just to hear a clear-headed Scott Hall is just amazing. And for the record, I own the DDP Yoga for Guys DVD, so I'm right there with them. So.
I was going to ask you that, you know, as far as if you have done it, and there you go.
It works. I mean, like, seeing DDP smile at you first thing in the morning is not the best thing, but it is motivating because I want it to be done with as quickly as possible, and I'm ready for a hot chocolate or a coffee afterwards.
And now, John, looking at Survivor nowadays, I know you were on the show not time ago, and actually, I'm sure you've seen it. Dr. Sean Kenefe is a good friend of mine, actually. I used to work with him on TV. He was on Survivor as well. But Survivor right now, and reality show, because when Survivor came out, it was Survivor, it was Big Brother. But reality TV, do you think is losing its steam?
No, I mean, like, people are always saying, you know, when's the end of reality TV coming? And it is cheap to make, and I don't see the end of reality TV ever. It's like, Survivor, I think at this point, they're probably the top 14 shows of the shows out, and an entire season of Survivor cost about $21 million. You look at any of the other shows, what, like Mariah Carey is getting like $1.5 million an episode, you know, so like just for the cost, I don't see Survivor going away anytime soon. I don't see reality TV going away. I mean, look at my DVR. I mean, like, yes, I watch Walking Dead, and I'm anxiously, you know, awaiting the return of Breaking Bad, and I'm watching Bates Motel. But at the same time, right beside there on my DVR is Teen Mom 2 and every other stupid reality show. So.
How about this book? Buck Wild? Did you get to see that one?
No. I was actually a little pissed off about Buck Wild when it came out because I was signed on as a producer for a very similar concept like 2 years ago, and it kind of stalled in the water a little bit. And actually, I came up with a clever name because they wanted to do like a redneck version or a white trash version of Jersey Shore, and so my actual concept was Redneck Riviera, and then. Fast forward 2 years, and you see Buck Wild. I'm just like, man, like that's kind of exactly what I wrote down. So I didn't watch it on principle, it doesn't seem like there's too many redeemable people from that show, and that I really missed a lot. And you even had the mayor of the town begging that they cease production of the show because it just shows the town in such a negative light. So I don't know. I mean, as I said, I never watched it. I have no desire to watch it. And, you know, even though two people have been arrested and someone's died, I'm not going to go back and watch. I mean, like Duck Dynasty, I fought watching forever. I saw like clips here and there and didn't like it. I actually sat down and watched an episode, and I got to say I like the show because I feel at the end of the episode there's a good message getting out there, and you know, I'm an evil guy, and you know, and that's not changed. I, you know, I still hate most people, and that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, the character of Johnny Fairplay. But at the same time, there I think there needs to be some good stuff out there too. And I think Duck Dynasty is like one of the, you know, one of those shows that does have a positive message afterwards. Like Honey Boo Boo, like I wish the whole family like horrible things. I hate and loathe everything they represent.
Oh, Honey Boo Boo, Jesus. Don't even mention that one. But how about Jersey Shore? Do you think Jersey Shore kind of brightened up the reality show TV? Because they were doing amazing on ratings.
They were doing it on ratings, but I mean, like, the last three seasons, I just felt nothing happened. I mean, you know, I'd watch and I was just like, eh, like, you know, because everyone at that, once you make enough money, you don't try to make good TV. Like, that's, like, I think that's pretty big problem with reality TV. I mean, like, you know, Pauly D's rich, the situation's rich, Snooki's rich. I mean, like, really trying to accomplish, when you have that much money, there's no incentive to embarrass yourself. I mean, you go back and watch the first couple seasons, and these guys are train wrecks. You know, the last two seasons, it's just like, oh, this is my shirt match. I mean, like, that's not the drama. You know, like, you know, everyone's waiting for Snooki to get punched in the face again, and that's just not going to happen. I mean, like, there's enough security there and everything else, so... I mean, I was more than happy that it ended. That's where I fall on it.
Well, I mean, Snooki still has a show, and
I've not watched one second of that.
Yeah, I don't know. But what do you think reality TV needs right now? Do you think it needs something that's gonna pick it up again, or
well,
something
I mean,
to for sure season in the future?
No, I mean, like, honestly, like, all you need is just good casting characters. I mean, like, on Survivor, when they bring back these characters, it's very tough to go out on a show and create a character and find that you know, lovable or hateable niche that you can make money with. I mean, I created the persona of Johnny Fairplay and I feel like I really struck reality gold with that because it was a character that I think the smart people kind of dug, and you know, maybe some of the chicks. But you know, on a whole, I think, you know, most people just love to hate me, and I think that works. And then you have characters that are similar, but when they bring them back, like they've seen the edits that they received, and it wasn't exactly how they perceived themselves prior to being on the show. So when they come back, they're trying to do their version of what they think you want, and they don't really understand what makes their character, you know, either good or bad for the reasons that they are good or bad. I mean, like this guy Philip that was on with Boston Rob a couple seasons ago, they brought him back, and he's doing this imitation of Philip. It's just painful to watch. I mean, like, I'm honestly ready not to watch the show anymore until he's gone, because like I just feel insulted as a viewer to just watch this lowest denominator of what they're claiming to be entertainment. So I mean, for me, Survivor is, you know, watching, you know, a brilliant strategist that has funny confessionals. I mean, like, that's the fun part of Survivor for me. But I do want a heroic, you know, good guy there, you know, for me personally to root against and for the other viewers to root for. I mean, I think that's the basis of good reality TV is finding it just the casting process of just finding fresh, original characters that aren't so over the top and aren't trying to play a character. They're actually, they either are evil or they are heroic for whatever they stand for, and they're admirable in each of those traits.
Back to wrestling, John, you really do truly respect wrestling. In fact, I was reading an interview that you named your daughter after her.
Yes, my daughter's named after Rowdy Roddy Piper. The reason I'm doing WrestleCon is to save money for her therapy lessons or therapy sessions when she discovers this information. That's why I'll be at WrestleCon. All the money will go to spike visits or shrink visits. So, no, I've been a big fan for years.
My dad, started taking me to wrestling at the age of four, and we used to go to the Greensboro Coliseum almost every month. And he told me at the age of four, he's like, always root for the bad guys because the good guys are pussies. So that was kind of my rule of thumb, and that's, you know, like growing up with heroes like Roddy Piper and Ric Flair, and then later in my adolescence, became a huge fan of Andy Kaufman, and that's kind of, you know, where the Dead Grandma Lie came from, and also the huge basis for the character Johnny Fairplant, Survivor. I mean, the final five were me and four girls, and, you know, I was quoting Andy Kaufman line for line. It's just like, you know, when it comes to scrubbing potatoes or scrubbing the floor, peeling potatoes, you know, women are superior to guys, but when it comes to stuff like thinking, you know, men are superior, and unless it's a getting pregnant contest, I don't like their chances, you know, so stuff like that. So, I mean, like, my roots go back to, you know, the original bad guys, but at the same time, I you know, even as a kid, I did have a fondness for, you know, like Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood. You know, I just thought they were amazing, and you know, even though, like, the bad guys still kind of like Junkyard Dog, you know, so, but you know, Greg Valentine was a terror that I loved and respected, so it's kind of weird.
Johnny, and guys, you can check out Johnny this WrestleMania weekend. One thing you're looking forward to do at WrestleCon, Johnny? What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to at WrestleCon?
What do you think you're looking forward to at WrestleCon? You're looking forward to you're going to be there? Because I ask, I never possibly see Hogan and Ultimate Warrior in the same room at the same time. I don't think that's going to happen.
Sorry, you're cutting out.
One thing that I had mentioned to Mike is that the possibility to see Hulk Hogan and Hulk at the same time, but that's not going to happen. Forward to something as a fan?
I'm looking forward to asking Hogan for a job. I'm looking forward to meeting Mantar. He's going to be there one day. the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is Jameson's going to be there. The Bobby Heenan sidekick when he had the Bobby Heenan show. If I don't leave with a picture of me and Jameson as my new Facebook profile pic, I think the entire weekend will be a disappointment. So that's what I'm looking forward most, is to meeting Jameson. I missed all that. Blog Talk is really really doing a number here. Hello. Hello.
Suck. I apologize for that, Johnny, but a pleasure to have you here on the show, and hopefully we can have you here again.
Absolutely, man. This has been a lot of fun. I hope I won over a couple people, and if I didn't, that's okay. As I said, it's good to be the bad guy. But come see me at WrestleCon. I'll be partially nice, and I'll sign stuff and take pictures. So. WrestleCon.com for more info, or follow me at Johnny Fairplay. That's Jonny Fairplay, no H in Johnny, and that's it. And absolutely have me on again, and we'll talk more philosophical reality TV and wrestling.
Will do. Thank you, Johnny. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Fairplay of Survivor and also of TNA. He'll be at WrestleCon. Make sure for information you visit WrestleCon.com. You're going to be able to check out Johnny Fairplay and a whole list of, you make sure in New Jersey, in the New York area, in the Northeast area, check out WrestleCon. I had the opportunity of going out there last year. It wasn't known as WrestleCon. They had a different name, Wrestle Reunion. And Okay, we're back here. Thank you, Block Talk Radio, again for messing up our programming. Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Block Talk Radio, you gotta love them. I had to call them up, man. I had to call them up because either way. Anyways, yeah, Wrestle Reunion was absolutely great. Now it's WrestleCon. Check it out. You get to meet a long list of wrestlers and folks that have been involved in professional wrestling. You get to see them one-on-one, face-to-face, ask them some questions. You know, I could tell you a long list of the people I met there. But check it out, WrestleCon.com. Joe, quickly, we got 4 minutes to go, believe it or not. It has been a packed show, man.
Oh, yeah.
Packed show here.
It's been a packed show. At the same time, watching the Heat playing the Knicks. It's in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes, 42 seconds left. The Knicks are up by 4.
Nah, we'll get this. Even with the reserve, we'll get this. Want to quickly review WrestleMania 29 this Sunday. Main event, Rock, Cena, WWE title. Alberto Del Rio versus Swagger for the World Heavyweight title. No holds barred match, Lesnar versus Triple H. Really looking forward to CM Punk versus Taker. The WWE Tag Team title match, Team Hell No versus Ziggler and Langston. Sheamus, Big Show, Randy Orton versus Shield. Ryback versus Henry. Fandango versus Jericho. Brodus Clay, Tenzai, Cameron and Naomi versus Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, and the Bella Twins. And you got the pre-show for the Intercontinental title, The Miz and Wade Barrett, which I must tell you this. It's kind of disappointing to see The Miz and Wade Barrett at a pre-show where the Intercontinental title is on the line. Yeah, you have Ryback. You have Ryback and Henry in the WrestleMania main card, yet you don't have The Miz and Wade Barrett. You know, that's just kind of upsetting, if you ask me.
I rather would have put the Ryback match in the pre-show.
Yep.
You know,
totally agree.
I was gonna say I was gonna say Fandango. I hope I'm saying it the right way, but
Fandango.
You know, so I have to what with the A again?
Ango. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. That's just a slap to the face to the Miz. But for the first time ever, they're going to have the pre-show and the post-show as soon as WrestleMania goes off the air pay-per-view. So there's going to be doing some behind-the-scenes stuff. So 1 hour pre-show and a post-show right after. And you can see the post-show on your app, online, anywhere you can think of.
And don't forget about the Hall of Fame on Tuesday.
You mean on Saturday?
No, they're actually showing it on Tuesday. On the USA Network.
Oh, they're re-airing it on Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, this is air on Tuesday. Quickly, real quickly, I know we got 90 seconds before we go off the air. Paul Bearer's Moody reported that is wondering, yes, WWE did come to us wanting approval for tonight's storyline. The way it was presented to us was okay. Seeing it on screen was a different story. I don't even know what to say. Was it wrong, Joe? What CM Punk did?
You know
did?
What?
Oh, did you get to see some of it?
I got to see a little bit. I mean, if they put it in the, if they put it on TV, you know, they had to get approved. Because, I mean, honestly, Vince McMahon don't want to get sued anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my bottom line on that one.
Well, very sad. Well, guys, thank you so very much for being in. Catch us tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. Beck Hyatt and a long list of fighters on MMA show. Don't miss us on Twitter at RomanDH, the fan page, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. With that being said, we'll catch you tomorrow night. Good night.
What's up? This your boy Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.